Okay, so first, what we're going to do is we're going to see just the Gemara inside and just push it touch of the Gemara. And then we'll obviously go back and explain it with looking at different Rashis and trying to understand how to analyze the halacha through the Gemara's points it's trying to say over here. So we're going from fifth line down on the top base, on the base, in the middle of the line. Four lines down, sorry, from base on base. It's the third word in, Omar Rav Papa. So Rav Papa comes along and answers the Gemara's question. Gemara's question, we know, is that the Toldos of Mazikim, the secondary categories of Mazikim, which are not written in the Torah, but are similar to the ones which are written in the Torah, are they got the halakhas of the ones written in the Torah? That is, you have to, according to Rashi, that they're going to be, if they do cause damage, of course you have to look after them. That's no shaila. You have to make sure they don't damage. That's not shaila. The question was, do you actually pay if they do damage? That was the question in the way that Rashi was learning. So Omar Rav Papa, so Rav Papa comes along and says, Yesh mehem kyotza, v'yesh mehem lav kyotza. Look, there are categories of the secondary mazikim which do have to pay, exactly like the prime category written in the Torah. But there is a secondary category of Mazikim, which is not written in the Torah, similar to one of them, the Av Malochus. That is, Lav Kiyot Behem is not going to have the same halacha as the Av. It would not be Chayev, like the Av, wouldn't be Chayev like the Av. And unless you would explain it that it's Chayiv. Yeah, you wouldn't be Chayiv unless it has its own source. That's Rav Papa. But Rav Papa is very diaphragmatic. He's not telling us exactly which one, because he wants us to work on it and find out ourselves through Limud Torah which one of the secondary categories is the odd one out that's not the same as the Av. You can't learn from the Av. So now, since he hasn't told us what it is, so we have to now investigate all the Av Malachas, firstly, which are written in the Mishnah, and also find out what are the secondary categories of each Av Malacha, and then discuss whether they're going to be the same or not. So the first one we take is actually the first one in the Mishnah. It says Shah in the Mishnah. Shah is an Av Malacha, you own an ox, which causes damage. You're going to have to pay, and we're going to analyze that. What is actually the Av Malacha of a Shah damaging, and what is going to be the Toldos, the secondary category, which is not in the Torah written, but it's similar of this ox. So says the Bryson, Tonorban, Gimel Ovas Nema B'Shah. There are actually three Ovas, Mazikim, different types of damages which the ox does. Three different types of damages, which is the ox does, which are actually written in the Torah, so it's called an av. What are they? Keren, that's goring. Shein, that's consuming other person's foods, damaging by consuming. Haregel, or damaging with trampling. Now, keren manolon. How do I know that if you gore, that it's called an av? How do you know that the ox goring is called an av malacha? Where's it written in the Torah that the ox gores, that you have to pay for damage? Tonu Rabbanan, ki yigach, because it's written in the Torah, the posuk ki yigach is actually written in the posuk, when it gores, you're going to have to pay. Okay, so it's clearly written as an av. Ein negicha l'keren. And you know what, when the word goring, it means, what's it using to damage? Keren, it's using a horn to damage. Shenema, as it says, how do you know? How do I know that a horn is goring? How do I know that the word nogach means using the horn to damage? Stand up, because I've got another posset. Where's this posset? In Novi. V'yasa lo, sitzkiyah ben kanana. Kanani. Kani bazim. Now what's this over here? The story is that Achaz, the king of Yehuda, who was a Rosha, wanted to fight Aram, which is basically Syria area, the Goyim, that he knew he was not powerful enough to overcome them. So he wanted to make a pact with one of his enemies, but he wanted to make a pact, which was the king of Israel. You know, there's two kings, kings of Yehuda and kings of Israel. He wanted to make a pact with the king of Israel to join up forces to fight the Syrian army, the Aram. And then the king of Israel at that time was Yehoshaphat, who actually was a tzaddik. And Yehoshaphat didn't want to join up with Ahaz to fight, because maybe it's not the Rots of Hashem, and maybe he won't be successful. So he wanted the first condition of joining up, making a pact to fight, was to get a Novi. Tell me, give me a Novi that everything's going to be successful. Bring me a Novi. So they bring him, this is this pasuk. They bring to Yehoshaphat to convince him to join up Sidkiyah ben Kenana, who is a Novi Sheker. And this is what the Novi Sheker says. Kani Basel, V'yomer Koma Hashem, he took the Kani Basel, he took a horn, made a metal horn. Obviously, it's not attached to anything, it's metal. V'yomer, and he's holding it. And he says, Koma Hashem. And he says, this is what Hashem says. But Eilat to not his own. With these, you will be able to go Aram. So there we see that the lotion of goring in connection to a horn. So a horn means goring. So that's where we know when it says the Torah, Kiyikach, it means that the ox is using a horn. Okay? Because it uses the word goring over here, and it's in reference to a horn. Yeah. No, that's because we know what it means. Yigah can mean that we don't know what the translation word Nagicha means. That's why we're saying. So we say, okay, V'omer, and we've got a second proof, says the Brisa. V'chor shah hodalo, he's talking about the brothers to Yosef. He's called like a shah. V'chor shah hodalo, v'kani reim kano. And the horns of the reim, he'll be able to gore the goyim, he'll be able to gore them. So we see, again, he's using kani re'im, and it's reference to the words yinoges. So we see the words yinoges. It says, b'choshor, was supposed to read it again, b'choshor hotelo, v'kani re'im kano behem amin. Yinogef is Yachnat. It says Yinogef. It says in reference to the Pasuk, it says, using, describing the Kani Re'im, the horns of the Re'im, which is like a wild goat. Yeah, Yinogef, he'll be able to Yinogef the Goyim. So he says the word Negicha means a keren, a horn. Now, the Gemara is interested in the question, says, why do you bring two Pasukim? What's wrong with the first one? Why do you have to back it up? You've got a posuk with Yehoshaphat, and then he brings a posuk in the Torah with Yosef. Why do you need to say it twice? What's wrong with the first one? My Va'omer. Why do you have to say a second one? Why say this? Okay, very, very good. The Chasam Sofer asked a question. This is, we're going to see, analyze a bit that question after the world, which Max is bringing up. He's saying, what do you mean? You've got a posuk and Novi, you've got posuk and Torah. Which one is the best posuk to bring, obviously? The Torah posuk. So, what do you mean? Why is the Bryce saying first the Novi posuk and then backing it up with the Torah? If you're going to have both, bring the Torah and then the Novi. But the Gemara is not asking that question. The Gemara is asking, why have two? Why have two? V'chi teiman, if you want to say, divrei Torah medivrei kabbalah le'afin, if you want to say there's a problem with the first pasuk, because the first pasuk is a Novi, and since it's a Novi, you can't learn halachas from Novi. Novi can't machadish halachas, which weren't in existence up until then. Only the Torah is telling us halachas. Therefore, the pasuk that you brought for Yehoshaphat wasn't good enough, because you're trying to tell me a halacha of goring the ox pain. Yeah, that's what the halacha is trying to tell me. Well, Novi can't tell me halachas, and therefore the Omer, I have to tell you a pasuk in the Torah. Okay? Divrei Torah medivrei kabbalah le'afin. You can't learn halachas of Torah from Novi, if that's the problem, says pasuk. Tashema, and that's why, b'chor shor hotelei. And that's why you say the second pasuk, which is in the Torah. B'chor shor hotelei, which is in the Torah. So the Gemara says, that can't be the problem.
Hamedatu.
We're not learning halacha here. We just want to know what the translation of the words is. It says in the Torah, Ki Yigah, when the ox gores, it pays. That's the halacha. Now I want to know, what does the word mean? So I look around, what does the word mean? Look here, look there, look in the Navi. Navi can tell me what the word translates. It's because it's not telling me a halacha, it's just telling me the translation, and that is, it's got jurisdiction over to do. So therefore, that can't be the problem. You can't be just saying the problem of first possible because it was not a good place to learn it from because it can't say halachas. Because it's not trying to say halachas. Therefore, the first possible should be a good possible. So why bring the second possible? Back to the original question. I'm made of food. This is not telling me anything. It's just telling me translation. It's just telling me gicha means hen. Ella. So what's the problem? Ma'ad tema. I might have thought that the Torah says, that if the ox gores, first time, second time, third time, he pays half the owner. Fourth time, then the owner pays all the value that is damaged. That's what the Torah writes. I might have thought that when the Torah makes a difference between first 3 times and the fourth time, hani mini betlusha. If I would only have the posuk and Navi, I would think that's only if the ox is goring with a detached horn. If the ox gores with a detached horn, for example, the ox, I would say what that means, you mean you stick a horn on top of an ox, and it's not really his horn, and he gores with it, then there's a difference if he gores 3 times when he only pays half, and the fourth time then he pays half. But with its own horn, which is attached to it from birth, Ema maybe kula moedus he. Maybe the halacha would be that even the first time it goes, you pay the whole value of the nezek, because that din of paying the first 3 times half maybe only applies to a detached horn. Why? Because in Navi, what's the Navi Sheker doing, he's holding a detached horn, and he's saying, this is what you're going to do negicha with. So I might think that the words, what it says in the Torah, when the ox gores, and it means translated, if you just have the Navi, I would say the ox gores with a detached horn, then you pay half the first 3 times, and the fourth time you pay the whole thing. But if it goes with its natural horn, I wouldn't say that's what the word nogach means. Therefore, I have to come on to the pasuk in the Torah of Bechar Shor by Yosef to tell me over there that, you know what, a horn which is part of the re'im, Kani re'im, which is the natural horn of the animal, it means nogach. It also means nogach, and therefore in the Torah it makes a difference. The first 3 times the ox gores, you pay half, and fourth pays all. It's also talking about a horn which is naturally on the animal from birth. And that's why you have to say second posuk. Because the first posuk would only think a detached horn. The second posuk tells me even a attached natural horn has this difference between the first 3 times and the fourth time. So, what you're asking? Yeah. Okay, again, now you're strengthening the type of question, then why go to the Navi in the first place? To get out the Navi, it's Navi, it's inaccurate, it's not the normal thing you think, and just go to the Torah Pasuk, which is talking about the natural horn of the animal, and that's all part of the same type of question that has been said. We'll see. Yes, a detached horn. It's you take a horn which was on an animal, and you stick it on to the animal. That's Rashi's pshat. It's not the normal pshat who say you had just reading the Gemara. That's why we're reading Gemara. Gemara is without Rashi. I would say. Heron to lose that detached horn means like the Navi Sheker is talking about. You take a horn. It can even hair, spear, anything like that, because it's even made of metal. You stick it on with super glue onto the ox, and now the ox goes around and using that to cause damage. That's what the Torah is talking about. And only that case, where there's a difference, the first three times half payments and the fourth time whole payments. But it's natural, you have a different halacha. What's a different halacha? When it uses its natural home, then it has to pay the full whack from the beginning. Okay, that's what I would think if I only had the Novi possum. That's why we have to bring them. So possum today, we're talking even the word Yenoga, where you make this difference, is talking about its natural home. Now, so, let us stop at this stage. Stop at that stage and analyze a bit this piece of the Gemara. So, let's do a bit of Rashi. Rashi says, Keren. If you go to Rashi, Keren. You know, there's three others said by Shah. Keren. What's Karen? Ningo? To go? Hashem. Which is Leachol, to eat. Rego is Jesus Lishbo as the Kelim. He's trampling to break the vessels. The animal's using his feet to break the vessels by trampling on it. Now, the question is like this. First question of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Gimel Ovras Nema Bashar. There's three Ovas, meaning three sukkim in the Torah in reference to a shah which damages. The Gemara seems to be saying different, or the Brisa seems to be saying different from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says that there's four Ovas altogether, and shah is one. Shah equals one of the four. This Brisa is saying, Shah has three in itself. So is it one? Was it three? The Mishnah says one. The Brisa says three. Brisa doesn't fit with the Mishnah. It's a machlokas, doesn't fit. So what's Mishnah behind that, straight away? So the Achronim asked this question. And one of the Achronim answers, I don't like saying names, I can say names, but people get names. You can ask me afterwards what the name of the Achronim. One of the answers is like this. Remember, we had a question of why you pay. Oh, you, the owner of the ox, have to pay if the ox damages. Why? Why do you pay when the ox damages? So we had two options on the table. Because you're supposed to look after it. You're negligent in not looking after it, and that negligence caused the damage, so you're getting to pay because of your negligence. At the end of the day, you pay because of your negligence. That was one option. Second option we had on the table was no. Why do you pay? Because your money is you. You are your money. B'chol modecha. You are your money. Okay? And your money is like you're doing it. So if you damage, you have to pay. If your money damages, it's you damaging. And that's why you have to pay. Because when your ox damages, it's actually you who are damaging. Okay? That's another reason. So says the Achronim, I got a proof from this Gemara like one of the Sfotim. Why? Because of our question. The Mishnah says, Shah is just one of the Avos Nezikin. The Brisa says it's free. What's the answer? The answer is the Brisa is not coming to argue on the Mishnah. The Brisa agrees it's one. But the Brisa is speaking out, how do you call this one? Meaning? It's meaning that why you pay? Not because you were negligent, and that made you pay. Okay, if so, how many times were you negligent? Well, you were negligent when your ox scored, that's one. Were you negligent when your ox eats, that's two. You're negligent when you're off trampled, that's three. You're negligent when the hole you dug causes damage to somebody. You're negligent when the fire which you lit causes damage. And you're negligent when you yourself don't look after yourself and you cause damage. That's six. And we ask, the Mishnah says four. So the Brisa says, not that you're speaking wrong. That's not how you speak. We're saying, what causes, there's four types of things which cause damage which you're going to have to pay. Your ox causes damage, then you're going to have to pay, because when your ox causes damage, you are causing damage. When's the ox causing damage? The ox can cause damage in three ways. The ox can cause damage by goring, by trampling, or by eating. But when in day he does either three of these, doesn't matter. The other day, what's the category? Who's causing the damage? The ox. The ox damage. He damages with his left hand, right hand, stepping, right. Any day, you don't split it up like that. We just say, what damage? The ox damage. That's what the Mishnah means. They've got one category called ox, because the ox is the one who's liable. The ox damages, he pays. Who's going to pay? You, because you're the ox. Because whatever the ox does is you. So the ox damages, whether it's like this, and this, at the end of the day, it's the ox damaging. That's why you're hired, and that's why you pay. Your hole is a different type of damage which is like you, and your fire is different. There's four different categories where there's four items damaging in different fashion, where it's considered like you yourself damaging. So the Brisa is not coming to argue with the Mishnah. He's trying to explain what are the three ways that this ox can damage. The ox, there's one category called ox damaging, and it can damage in three different ways. Either with its horn, or by eating, or by trampling. Yes, Amatsya. Yeah.
Different.
It's all ups.
So what makes you differentiate that?
Because it's written in the Torah, as Rashi said in the first week. Since it's written in the Torah, it's actually called an up. But at the end of the day, it's three types of ways of the ox causing damage. And all three of them are called others of the ox does this way, or this way, or that way, these three ways, all three times he's doing an av. If he does something else, then it's not called an av, it's called a tolzer. We'll see what the tolzers of Karen is at soon. But if the ox gores, eats, or tramples, it's the ox damaging, but either scenario, if he does it, he's doing an av. He's doing an av. We'll see what's the difference between the other tolls. If they're the same, what's going to be the difference? What do we care? Ah, yeah, Mr. Wellens.
It's the same.
Why do you need Otto Mamazin? Because we'll have to see to the Gemara what's the Kiddush of Otto Mamazin. That it tells the Gemara asks you a question. What's the chiddush of mazik? If all these are really, these are considered you, even though it's not physically you, we say it is you. So, of course, again, the person who damages is going to be kind. That's Mr. Wellen's question. Gemara discusses that at later stage. Yeah, for sure. But if we're proving a proof over here that it's not the shmira or lack of looking after it that makes you chayv, your chayv's done because you damage. Who's you? You're the ox. And you, the ox, damage when it goes.
That's the case.
The person's
always
No. I'll speak to you about that afterwards. Okay. Now, so then, we asked the Chassan Sofer's question. Chassan Sofer's question was, why start, look, you want to bring two psukim, fine, you want to bring two psukim. Fine, you want to bring two psukim, look, come on, explain why you want to do it. Okay? But why start with the Novi Pasuk? Start with the Torah. which is the main source, and then go to Navi, and then we'll discuss why you're bringing the second one. But you've got the order wrong. Why is the price starting with the Navi Pasuk? Go to the Torah Pasuk first. Now let me ask you a question. The Gemara says, let's do a bit Rashi first, and then I'll ask the question. If you go to Rashi, Be'ela Tegogeh Es Oram Behem Amim Yinogeh, it says, Alma Negicha Bekens. The Navi Pasuk is telling me Negicha is a Ken. Now, Divrei Kabbalah Nevi'im M'Sumim. What's Divrei Kabbalah Nevi'im M'Sumim? Hamelef, there's no problem using a Pasuk in Navi, because you're just telling what the translation of the word is. Bitzvah, hello, Hamelef, you're not telling me Halacha, Bitzvah, hello, Domi, Divrei Kabbalah. You're not telling me Halachas. Lo Chiyef, Lo Potsah. You're not telling me whether you're Chayv or Potsah from Navi. Elegil and Milsehu. All you're doing is translations. The Kohecha, the Ksit, Negicha, the Karen. Whenever it says the word Negicha, translate Karen. That you can learn from Novi. Ella. Now, Rashi explains the Maskon. Lahochi Israch. The Omer. So why do you need the Novi? Because why do you need this, to say the second Posek? Why is the Novi Posek not good enough? The Mahu, the Tema, I might say false. Ki chalak rachmona ben tama lemuetus, that when the Torah makes a difference in halacha, whether he's a tam that pays half and muet or pays whole, the shatam sits chatzias kasper, shatam writes, you only pay half the money, flumasham and chetzi next to you, you only have to pay half the damage. Muet siv, and if it's the fourth time, it writes, shalom yisalim shah, tapas a shah, you have to pay the whole value of the damage it caused. The month of Shalom, Nezik Shalom, which is the whole presumptive value. Hanamin, I might have thought that's the Geret Lusha. That's only with this detached horn, which is Jumla Zakani Sitkyo. Jumla to the case of the Novi, which is talking about a detached horn, which you're waving around and saying, how detached horn could go. Now he says, what's the example? Sha'ochsa ha-behema ha-keren. He doesn't say my example that you stick the horn on the head of the animal. He doesn't say you're sticking the horn on the head of the animal. That's the detached case. What's the detached case? The animal picks it up with its mouth, the horn, and he's holding the horn in its mouth. The nafla, and it's while it's holding it, it gores using its mouth with the horn inside to gore. The hosam vatai lo mishalein tam kulu nezek. There, I would say, only there, the Torah was telling me, you only pay half. Don't pay the whole thing. Mishum, why? The ein daka bakach. Because it's not normal. It's abnormal event. It's very strange event for the animal to pick up a horn with its mouth and gore something. It's extremely unusual. That's why he gets away with paying half. The law has a bali lishma dovazem. The owner doesn't have to think of guarding his ox from doing such a thing, because who would think an ox would do such a thing? So the banim is not really negligent. This is not negligent. That's when the Torah says pay half. Abu b'chubaris. But if I wouldn't have the possible Torah, if it would be its natural horn, to Ochehu, then it's normal, it would aim a kula murdersi, then it will be totally paying murd, it be from even a filu tachila, even the first time it calls with its natural horn, I will think wrongly, Mishalim Nezik Shalom, it pays the whole value. That's why I need the posuk in the Torah to tell me even a natural horn, first three times, only pay half. Fourth time you pay the whole thing. Because without that pasuk in the Torah, I think the first three times a natural horn will pay the whole thing. That's why I need the pasuk in the Torah. Okay. Okay. Okay, so we'll discuss that as well. Okay. So now, let me ask you, you are now the Dayanim. Now that the Gemara has explained why we're bringing the Pasuk in the Torah, to tell me a natural horn also only pays half the first three times, and then he pays the whole thing the fourth time. Now, okay, now we know the whole picture. Now, what's the halacha now if a ox picks up a horn with its mouth and gores? What's going to be the halacha? No, I'm not might of force. I want to know the might. The Torah says ki yigach, as when the Torah says the ox gores, it pays half the first three times, and the fourth time pays the whole. And we're now saying that means when it gores with its natural horn, what happens if it gores with its not natural horn? It picks it up with its mouth and gores. What's going to be the halacha? Shouldn't have to pay. Shouldn't have to pay. Okay, so I'm going to give you. You pass this around, and you'll see. And I'll share a screen. I've got it ready for you on the screen. Says the Chazan Yecheskel, Daim Abramsky, that's that. He says, if I look at Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam, Kinnir Shittas HaRambam and Machaber, the Maskona, that according to the Maskona of the Gemara, Shemuchaberes Yeshma Blechadagicha, that the Pasuk, when it says, Ki Yigah, it means its natural horn, Ein Lachayev Al Geren Telusha. If the ox would pick up its non-natural horn, it would not be chayav to pay. You would be chayav, the owner would not be chayav to pay for any damage an ox does with its non-natural horn. Shemistaba. Shatoa chayeves lishma behemoth shlo tizak b'zeshesh b'chokam. Because the Torah is not only obligating you to look after things which you cannot, you can look after. Because you're Atzer in its natural state. There's no logic to suggest that you're chayev to look after Shema Tinsakev. And maybe I have to figure out, maybe my ox will find something on the floor that looks like a horn, pick it up, and Nitzah and put it through its teeth and go with it. No way, when I think I'll never have a Hagminah, and since you don't have such expectations, the Torah doesn't place responsibility on you on those occasions. And therefore, according to Halacha, says Daim Abramsky, only the natural horn are your owner's going to be chayv for damage which the animal does with its natural horn, but won't be chayv to be paid for damage which it doesn't do with its unnatural horn, which it just picks up. So he's learning in the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch, since they're just talking about a natural horn, obviously the non-natural horn is, you're off the hook. You don't need to work, pay for such a thing. Oh. So maybe we'll get to that. So that's very good. Right, very good. Yes, Mr. Welling. Maybe not. Maybe it's so strange that, okay, what? Right, but that's next week, the beginning of next week, discussing what's mood. What does mood do? Okay, it depends on what mood does. Good question. But, he said, that your potter. That's what the Rambam and the Shulchan Aruch don't talk about detachment. Now, why detach is not something you are liable for. However, if you look at the next Maromokam, the Rashba on Azaf, he says, Av Ptlusha Batama Mesharim. Someone has an accident of him. Hold on. We're just stopping for a second. It's good we've got a doctor here. It's a tongue. No mood. Actually, here we go. Hey. Smecha. Just having a bit of a pause for a second. Later on, the Masechta was discussed about somebody taking away a chair out of joke and causing unfortunate damage. Very dangerous thing to do. Yeah. So, the Rashba says the following, the one beat, one base. Af atalusha batama mesalim chasidezek. Even a detached horn, if he goes with a detached horn, he's going to have to pay half the damages. And if he does it three times, like Mr. Welling says, because he pays those extra, then he pays the whole thing. So, why? So, chol hafokas have they told the kerem. Because at least a detached horn is a tolta similar to what's written in the Torah, its natural horn. So what is basically, both Rishonim, all the Rishonim are saying, that when the Pasuk says ki yigak in the Torah, it's only talking about natural horn. A natural horn of the animal damaged the first three times, half, fourth time, whole thing. All everyone says, that's what the Torah saw. It's not talking about the detached horn. Now what's going to be the din with the detached horn, because it's not written? Says the Rambam in the eyes of Daniel Gramsci, detached horn is not written, it's not chayav. According to the Rashba, detached horn, which is not written, is chayav because it's a tolter, meaning it's similar to the attached one, and therefore you can machayav him because of its similarity. And because of the hilchos tolters, you can machayav. So, we'll finish off with the following statements. We asked the Chassan Sofer's question. Why did it start with Novi and go to Torah? You should have started the Brisa with the Torah apostate and then go to the Novi. And the answer is, because the Brisa wants to tell you Chidushim. What's the Chidush? The Brisa is speaking like this. You may have thought that when it says in the Torah that ki yigach, it's in reference to a detached horn, which is what I think it means from the Novi. Kamash malon, I've got a posuk in the Torah that the posuk is only talking about a natural horn and not talking about a detached horn. And therefore, don't make a mistake and think that the horn of the Torah is detached. No, it's natural horn and not its detached horn. That is the price is talking in chidushim. So I know that naturally I would want it to say the posuk in the Torah first Novi, but the price is a halacha sefer. It wants to tell you chidushim. Don't have a minna that it's a detached one because you're reading Novi. No, it's only an attached natural one because I look at the Torah, it means attached, and therefore it's coming to exclude the detached one. That's what the posuk means, the order is showing, and that's the shot in the Brisa. The Brisa is telling me, don't make a mistake thinking it's talking about in reference to the unnatural horn. No, it's only talking about natural horn. Unnatural horn either is not chayav at all, or it's considered a tolter, but it's definitely not an av. And don't make that halakhic mistake to think it's an av. That's how the Brisa is speaking. Next week, Mr. Shem will go further in the Gemara and also then just try and work out why are they arguing? Why is there argument halakhically between the attack with this unnatural horn? Why is it talking about machlokas over here when you're hired or you're not hired? Yeah? The last words after to finish today. Now answers my question which I've thrown out. What was my question? Why does Rashi say such a funny pshat? when it says Telusha, it says the animal picked it up with its mouth. I would say that you, the owner, went ahead and did implants of its natural horn, implanted a metal horn on top of its head, and that's the case of detached. Why did Rashi say, no, that's not the case. The case is when it picks up its mouth. Why did Rashi say that? Now, obviously, the answer is... Because if you would do it, very good, if you would actually put it on, could Rashi say the words, I wouldn't expect it to gore, it's so unusual, I would never think that you would do such a thing. You would say such a thing. It has to be so unusual. It can only be so unusual if you didn't actually invent it yourself. The animal did it itself. The animal can't implant its horn. The only way the animal can, a telusha of an animal would mean it picks something up and holds it. The only way to hold it is in its mouth. Yeah? So Rashi's pshat is obvious. It's not like Rashi's inventing something. The pshat in the Gemara, if it's talking about telusha, has to be the animal picking it up. Can't be human involvement, because if it's human involvement, then it's no better or worse than its natural horn, if it's a human horn. So you stuck it on, why should it be any different from a natural horn? So it must be the animal did it. The only way the animal can do it, if it picks up with its mouth. So therefore, what Rashi is saying is obvious. Okay, Mr. Shem, Shir next week is on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's next week's Shirim, free Shirim, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. And whoever wants the Chazor Shir on Shabbos will have that. Thank you, everyone. Thank you. See you. Have a good evening.
Had a quick question. Have you got a second?
Yes.
You said that the detached horn is according to one pasha, the Rashba, is hetzi shleim, it's half.
The Rashba, it's got the same halachas as its natural horn, which is the first three times half, the fourth time the whole thing.
Oh, I thought the natural horn was the whole thing from day one.
No, because the Torah says half the first three times and the fourth the whole thing, and the Torah is talking about its natural horn.
Fine, I'll ask my question. Okay. Thank you.